We have a lot of movies to go through.
Yeah, we do. Should we do like an intro so that we can say
we and probably now? Should. We probably should, because I don't know. We know who Grace is. I don't know if anyone listens to this, but
one day people will, and they will be curious.
Yes, and they won't know who Grace is. They probably don't know who we are, because I don't know if we ever introduced ourselves, so
that's fine. We can stay anonymous.
Well, I'll let you introduce Grace. I think you've got a better shot at that.
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, I'm DJ. That's Aaron. We're doing this podcast, a little project called Mainly Movies. And today, since there's really nothing out that we wanted to talk about, I guess we're doing kind of a little bonus episode, a nostalgia trip, if you will. And our first guest is my wife, Grace. Hello, Grace.
Hello.
So she's going to help us dive through all these movies from our childhood. And, well, I guess they're still making these movies technically. So first off, Aaron, let me ask you this. Do you know the actual difference between Disney and Pixar? Because when you said a Pixar podcast and I popped up the list for Pixar movies, I was pretty confused. Yes. I thought there was stuff missing, so but apparently that's Disney animation.
This is kind of something I wanted to talk about. For some reason, I have a very clear distinction between, like, I keep a record of what is Pixar and what is not Pixar.
Oh.
And I feel like as kids, it wasn't a big deal because, like, a Disney movie was a 2D movie and a Pixar movie was, like, the 3D animation.
Right.
But now, I mean, you got stuff like Tangled and Frozen and you're like, oh, that's Pixar. And no, it's not. So, I don't know, the lines get kind of blurred there. And for a while, Pixar starting off wasn't owned by Disney for a while.
Yeah, okay. I thought that was the case.
Yeah, so they were two separate companies and then Disney bought them back. And we don't need to go into the history and stuff. But yeah, I have a pretty clear line of what's Pixar and what's not. But I do think it's getting closer to each other these days.
Yeah, I don't know. I think both Grace and I were a little confused about the list.
Yeah, Grace, the reason that we wanted you to talk about these is because you are a Disney movie lover in general. And I'd like to just go through all Disney movies because I'm sure there's a lot on there that are your favorites. But I don't know, this list was a little shorter, so I thought we could start out with this and figure out a way to get to the rest of Disney's hundreds of movies that they make. But I guess the idea for this was we were just gonna kind of go through all the movies that, so Pixar's released 19 movies, and it's kind of cool because Pixar really started making movies like when we were born pretty much.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, and so it's, I don't, there's been several movies that have come out where it's like definitely like directed to us, which feels kind of cool, like our generation, because that's kind of the generation that's grown up with Pixar movies, so.
Okay, did you want to go through this just like chronologically in the order they came out?
Yeah, we could just start at the beginning and go through, and then at the end I thought we could spend a little long. So I did manage to see Coco.
Oh, nice.
The latest one that's come out, so I thought we could spend a little longer reviewing that one, what we thought, since it's obviously going to be the most fresh on our minds.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I am interested to know which of these, like, you remember clearly, and which ones it's like, I saw it when it came out, but I don't remember anything that happened.
Okay, yeah, that'll definitely be an aspect for each of these movies, because Grace and I had to sort of prepare. We went through and found a playlist on YouTube of all the trailers for these movies, and some of them, you know, like, instantly brought me back, and I was like, I remember watching this so many times as a kid, and then there are others I was just like, I know I've seen this at some point in time, but I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a couple on the list.
All right, hold on, the cat is attacking me, so I'm gonna put her up.
Okay. Podcasting with pets.
Only in the Pixar pod would animals come out to play. Is the cat stowed?
Okay. I'm back.
Okay.
Yes. Cat is taken care of. Okay, so we'll start at the beginning with the one that started it all, Toy Story. What do you remember about Toy Story? Because I'm assuming this is one that you remember clearly. and have seen many times.
Yeah, Grace, do you want to kick this one off?
Yeah, Grace, you start with your thoughts on Toy Story.
Okay, well, first, should we lump them all together or just do them separately?
I think for Toy Story, do it separately because I think I have different feelings about each one.
Okay.
But, like, Cars, we don't have to go through Cars 2 and 3.
Okay, so Toy Story is probably one of the movies that I've seen the most amount of times. So it doesn't hold, I guess, I love the first one, but it doesn't hold as special of a memory because it was one of those movies that when I was in daycare, they played it every day for a month. So I didn't love it as much. But, I mean, it's still one of the best ones. It's a classic. I mean, it came out the year after we were born.
Yeah, we were tiny. But yeah, that makes sense that it was playing in your daycare.
Yeah, but so it was pretty popular.
Did you think of it as like a boy movie though? Because I kind of wonder that, because like the main two characters are boy toys and you don't get Jesse until Toy Story 2.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
I think that might be why I like the sequels better.
Yeah.
I don't dislike Toy Story. I love Toy Story, but that maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, because it's kind of...
But no, not at the time I wasn't like, I'm not going to watch this. This is a boy's movie. I don't want to see
well,
this.
Well, yeah, we were like 3 or 4 when we were watching it, so I don't think you really care at that point. But yeah, I've always kind of wondered that, because it's like...
I liked Bo Peep. She was one of my favorite characters.
She kind of gets tossed to the side once Jesse comes along.
She really does. Poor Bo
Wait, is she like still in the sequels?
I feel like every now and then, like, Woody will, like, rope her in or something like that.
She's in the second one. I don't know if she was in the third
one. Yeah, I don't remember if she's in the third one or not.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember either.
Yeah, Toy Story is great, though. They just did such a good job of making all these characters that, you like, Mr. Potato Head and Rex and Ham and Slinky.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And it's one of the... I'm confusing Disney and Pixar again, but I was going to say it's one of the shining Disney / Pixar movies without death. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. No one's parent dies. So that's always a plus.
That's true. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay, DJ, I think I know the answer to this question, but were you more of a Woody guy or a Buzz guy?
Oh, man. I think more Woody, just because the movie sets him up as such a kind of a martyr. Like, he really does get shoved aside. And I guess when I think back on it, I had a action figure thing of Woody, but I never had a Buzz Lightyear or anything.
So. Did you have the pull string in the back?
Where no.
He says, there's a snake in my boot.
Oh, we had one of those. Emily had Woody, and Sarah got Buzz, and I got Jesse.
Yeah. See, it was such a long time ago that I had Buzz, and my brother had Woody.
Nice.
And I think we went as those two for one Halloween one time.
That's fun.
I don't remember. But yes, classic movie. Yeah, I went and watched the trailer for a couple of these, and I watched the Toy Story trailer, and I was like, oh man, I could just watch this movie right now.
Yeah, it really does bring you back. There's something special about Toy Story.
Yeah, and there's so many classic lines, like, you were a sad, strange little man. It's like, I don't know who came up with that, but it's great.
And it, I mean, we're still quoting it years later, but...
yeah.
I don't know, maybe we can get into this after Toy Story 3, but do y'all have opinions about Toy Story 4? Because, I mean, that is a thing that's going to happen.
Let's save that for the
okay.
end. Yeah, I don't want to get into that now. Okay, so we will wait on Toy Story 2 and go to A Bug's Life. What do you remember about Bug's Life?
Bug's Life was kind of scary.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about y'all, but...
With the grasshoppers?
The bird was scary, the grasshoppers
I forgot
were
about
scary.
The bird. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, that bird was terrifying. Even though the rain was terrifying in that movie.
Everything
that's
was terrifying.
True. Something as simple as the rain.
I think that's kind of the point they were trying to make, though, is when you're an ant, like, everything is just massive. And
that's true,
terrifying.
But it was too much for me to handle as a child.
Yeah, the bird was... Oh. Oh, man. Okay, did you...
But A Bug's Life was one that I, like, didn't like as much when I first watched it, I don't think. But then when I watched it as a teenager, I liked it a lot more.
Really?
Not sure why, but...
I think it's a good one. So, were you guys... So I know a lot of people confuse, like, Bug's Life and Ants. It came out, like,
they did that. Come out at, like, the same time.
Yeah, which was really strange. Did you... So some people seem to think that, like, Ants was the superior Bug movie, and I never agreed with that. I thought the Ants looked really weird. Yeah. Like, I thought their faces were just strange.
I never saw Ants, so I don't have an opinion on it.
I mean, Ants is, like, far inferior to A Bug's Life. I didn't know this was a debate.
I feel like a lot of people just kind of don't like A Bug's Life because, I don't know, it was one of the early movies, and it kind of gets forgotten.
I think it's still solid, though. Like, I really like the message now that I'm older and can appreciate it.
And we're engineers like Flick.
Just like Flick.
Right?
There's a little telescope thing.
Yeah, with a little dewdrop in it or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's a good one. Okay. Another thing about Bug's Life, for some reason I distinctly remember the short before it was the old man that is playing chess against himself in the park.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know that was before A Bug's Life. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And for some reason, I vividly remember that being before A Bug's Life and just thinking that was the funniest thing. It was like this old man. Oh, good times. Okay. Toy Story 2. So this is... I kind of grouped them together in kind of eras. And I think Toy Story, Bug's Life, and Toy Story 2 was really like... Pixar starting out kind of figuring out what they could do, because it's all like the same director, the same like team, and I think they were still kind of like making money and figuring out where they wanted to go. And so Toy Story 2 is kind of the last of that first trilogy.
Well, when did when did Pixar get bought out by Disney?
I don't know. I don't have a timeline on that, but that could play into it.
Yeah. Okay, I was just curious, but yeah, I would agree. That definitely seems like the early era for Pixar.
Yeah, those were all the movies I had on VHS.
Yeah, because after that DVD struck, I remember we had those, and then we had Monsters, Inc., and we had to decide if we wanted to get it on DVD or VHS. We got it on VHS because we had this van that had a VHS player in it. And So... we would be like, oh, we want to watch this one on the way to grandma's house. We're going to get it on VHS. So, yeah, that was in between Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo is when we made that switch. But getting ahead of ourselves, Toy Story 2. What do you remember about Toy Story 2?
I remember that the guy that owned that toy store, he was creepy. Yeah. And the old man that was fixing up Woody was also creepy.
Yep.
And I very distinctly remember the Cheeto Puffs that he was eating. I don't know why that is
I
so
remember
ingrained
all of those,
in my memory.
Yeah, no, all of those things, like, the overall story of it, I don't remember that well. And, like, a lot of the things that you would pick up on when you're older... you just don't catch when you're a little kid, but it's like the Cheeto fingers, the creepy old guy. It's like those are the things, because this movie came out when we were like 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's still a long time ago.
But that is when Jesse came in, and I think I did like Toy Story 2 a little bit more than Toy Story 1. But I also don't think you could have had, well, obviously you can't have the second without the first one, but they really played on each other well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Toy Story as a whole, I would say, is a very solid trilogy. I don't remember like disliking any of them. I don't remember Toy Story 2 all that well. The thing I remember the most is like the cold open is that that video game level with Buzz fighting Zurg.
Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest thing in the world when I was a kid. I wanted that game so bad, but I don't even know if it existed.
Oh, I forgot about that. It was, like, super intense, too.
It was intense.
Oh, man. Yeah, but you had new char- you had Jesse and Bullseye, and you had
the Prospector,
Zurg, the Prospector
Pete,
yeah, and Evil Emperor Zurg, which were great additions. But yeah, I think it was a good second one. But yeah, there's like huge chunks of the movie that I just don't remember at all.
Yeah, same.
So kind of on that note, I remember I got really into Buzz Lightyear of Star Command, the TV show.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing.
Yes. And I feel like that was like right after Toy Story 2, and that kind of like fit into like the video game at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all these like Buzz Lightyear adventures, and I had that one on VHS too. There's like a movie for it. But yeah, good times with Toy Story. But I feel like Monsters, Inc. were finally like kids that are capable of having our own thoughts and like making decisions. So
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, because I think so. This next three movies I kind of grouped as like the golden age of Pixar, because these are like three that I remember very well. And like, I know we had them all on DVD or VHS, and I watched them tons of times. So Monsters, Inc. DJ, what do you think of Monsters, Inc.?
I like Monsters, Inc., but I feel like this was in the period where, you know, like when you're a kid, you can just put anything on the screen and kids will be happy about it. You can put the same movie on repeat and they're just happy to watch something. I think Monsters, yeah, Inc. came around the time that I was starting to grow out of that. So I remember Monsters, Inc. very well, because I just remember it being played everywhere, like at birthday parties, at school. It was everywhere. And I like it okay now still. But, and I mean, this might be kind of blasphemous, but I think I like Monsters University better.
I won't call you out on that. I think that's okay. I think that's okay. I think there is some like Monsters, Inc. fatigue, because I do think it was like, oh, this movie is perfect for the kids. And yeah, no, I can agree with that.
Yeah, because I still like Monsters, Inc. a lot, but I think just with the timing and everything in Monsters University, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I'd also say that I liked Monsters University better as well. But I also really liked Monsters, Inc. It was funny at the time.
Wow, that's...
That still is funny.
That's two votes for Monsters University. So, we'll get to this in a minute, but I think one of the reasons Monsters University was so great is because we had just gone to college.
Yep, that's it.
And,
exactly.
And it came out right then, and so all these, like, cheesy college jokes were, like, right on for us at that, like playing ultimate frisbee and like doing all these weird like fraternity things.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect timing though for them.
It was
to space it out like that.
But in the same way, like Monsters, Inc. came out when we were like kids dying for something to watch at home on VHS or whatever. So yeah, yeah. No, I think that is just where we've grown up and we've kind of grown out of Monsters, Inc. So.
Still great, though.
It's okay, but
it's still very
funny.
A lot of good jokes.
Yeah, and I feel like I could almost replay the entire movie in my head. It's because I remember it so well.
Yeah, yeah. This is definitely one of the ones that I remember the best. And I don't know if that's because of, you know, repetition or... I don't know. The plot just stuck with me for some reason.
Yeah. Okay, Finding Nemo. So, I feel like a lot of people see Finding Nemo as like the best Pixar movie of all time. What are your thoughts on that?
I loved Finding Nemo. I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Me too. I think I would confidently put Finding Nemo as my number two.
Number two. Okay. Have we gotten to your number one?
Nope.
Or is that later on the... Oh, okay. Okay. That's fair. But yeah, no, I think it's high up for everyone.
This would be close to my number one. I don't know if I have a number one, but it's up there.
And that's why I didn't want to straight up rank these.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea to not do that.
There's two. Yeah,
yeah,
there's,
I couldn't have done that.
There's like groups that I really love, and there's like a select few that I just don't really like, and then there's a bunch where I'm like, that was good. And so I don't like putting one ahead of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Finding Nemo is great, and I don't know. I don't know what else to say about Finding Nemo.
I think Finding Nemo is the movie I've seen the most on this list, actually. It's my family, we have a couple of movies that we watch, like, for get-togethers and stuff. And the one we always watch is The Lion King. But sometimes we throw in Finding Nemo every now and then.
It's a good family favorite.
Yeah, is it like extended family, like get together and you're just like, okay, it's Lion King time?
Nope, just immediate family. I don't think there's ever been a point in my life where I have gone more than a year without watching The Lion King at least once.
Well, that's a great conversation to bring back in our Disney pod, which is coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
But Finding Nemo is one of those that I think is pretty classic in that, like, when I went to Disney World in December of 2014, I think it was, or 2013, they still had, like, a whole big Finding Nemo show, and Finding Dory hadn't come out yet. So this was years after Finding Nemo was there.
Yeah.
And they had, like, a whole Crush exhibit where Crush would talk to the kids.
Oh, man.
It was a lot of fun. Wow. It was great.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's awesome.
I mean, they still have the show, I'm pretty sure. But all of that was well put in place before Finding Dory was even a thought.
Wow. Cool.
So, I mean, I think it resonated with audiences.
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Yeah. And, like, with Disney World, it's, like, the only, like, underwater thing. You've got, like, Little Mermaid.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it's, like, Finding Nemo. And it kind of has all these underwater. And you can do, like, aquariums and stuff with it. And because that's, like, you can go to any aquarium, and, like, anytime someone sees, like, the blue tang, like, fish swimming around,
they're like, it's Dory! Yes,
which is amazing.
To this day. Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of, it's, like, redefined a fish, which is pretty incredible.
And also, Grace and I, we're going through these trailers chronologically, and just, like, the step in quality for, like, how Finding Nemo, it is so much higher than how Monsters, Inc. looks. Like, the water in Finding Nemo, it looks amazing, even now, like, even today's stuff, so.
I agree, yeah.
Well, because I think Monsters, Inc. was the last one I had on VHS, and I think Finding Nemo was when we got it on DVD, because I'm pretty sure the Monsters, Inc. VHS tape was green. I just vividly remember that.
Oh, that's something I miss. You can't have different colored movies anymore. Oh, I guess you can color the front of the DVD, but it's not the same.
Yeah, that's not the same, though.
Finding Nemo. Great one. Okay. Number 6 is The Incredibles. DJ, is this your number one?
It sure is.
Okay.
And I think it was over Thanksgiving. I convinced my family to watch it because I hadn't seen it in so long. Oh, man. It still holds up. It is still amazing. It is probably one of my favorite superhero movies.
That's just crazy. It's crazy that you've got, like, these giant Marvel and DC universes with all these nerdy comic book fans, and that you could have, like, just the Pixar team come up with a story that, like, is equally great superhero and equally great, like, Pixar awesomeness.
Yeah, it's a nice combo, so I don't know. This movie is still great. I am really excited for The Incredibles 2 coming out. I still remember seeing this original movie in theaters with my dad, because my dad does not go to theaters to see movies. He claims that he's saving all of his movies to watch during retirement. So this movie came out in 2004. I am willing to bet my dad has not been in a movie theater more than 5 times since the original Incredibles came out.
Oh, man. So each one is a memorable experience.
Yes. So this is definitely, I remember it pretty well.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Grace, what are your Incredibles experiences?
Well, DJ's going to hate me, but I didn't like The Incredibles when it first came out. I don't know what it was about it, and I don't remember why I disliked it, but it was one of those that I watched once and probably didn't watch again until we watched it at DJ's in November.
Oh, no!
Whenever we watched it.
I had no idea.
It's not that it's a bad movie. Maybe at the time I was like, this doesn't have princesses in it. I don't want to watch it. Maybe that had something to do with it. I liked Violet.
Yeah.
And I liked the stretchy mom. But then when we watched it this recently, I still was getting mad at the dad. What is his name? The dad.
Mr. Incredible?
Well, I guess so, yeah. I just, he was like lying to his family, and he, I don't know, I wasn't a fan of him. But that being said, I think I'll like The Incredibles too.
Yeah, it's supposed to be more focused on the mom, Incredibles 2, if that makes you feel not as disgusted.
I remember at the end of Incredibles 1, though, you know, when the Underminer comes up?
Yes.
I was like, oh, they're making a sequel, like, right after this.
Oh, I remember like, thinking that, too.
There's gonna be an Underminer sequel. They set it up perfectly.
And then it never happened.
There's an Underminer video game, and it was fantastic.
I know there was. I guess that's all we get, though. Because I'm assuming he's not going to be the main villain of Incredibles 2.
All I know is it's supposed to be more focused on Elastigirl, so.
Elastigirl and Jack-Jack, right?
I don't know.
I did like Jack-Jack a lot. I was intrigued by what his superpower was and what they would do with it.
Also, the soundtrack in The Incredibles is great. Oh,
it's so great.
Because it's like jazzy and like superheroes and it's just, yeah.
Ah. I definitely enjoyed it more now than I did when I was a kid.
I feel like now you're just trying to cover up for insulting it when DJ said that it's his favorite Pixar movie of all time.
It's okay. I mean, you can have your own preferences. I feel like this was definitely, I don't know, this was definitely like the perfect movie for like a nerdy 10-year-old DJ. So I don't know. I was kind of scared to watch it again, like now that I'm somewhat grown, because I was scared I was looking at it purely through nostalgia goggles. And I might be, but it still holds up.
I think there is a nostalgia factor, but I also think like I would for sure just watch it and ride the nostalgia wave all the way through. But that is weird, though. Like, I'm looking through the list of movies, and, like, not all of them are, like, aimed directly at boys, but, like, most of them are. Like, there's not a lot of, like, girl-centric Pixar movies.
No, there's really not. And maybe that's why I didn't like some of the beginning ones.
Yeah, not until, like, the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 have we gotten a couple. So that's kind of what, and that's definitely true of the next one on the list, Cars.
Now, something interesting about Cars is, I mean, I enjoyed that first movie, but not enough to, I don't know, I didn't love it compared to all the other Pixar movies. And that came out in 2006, and I have some cousins who are now in high school, or one's just started college, and that was like their childhood movie. They want to watch that movie all the time, even now still.
Oh, no.
And so,
Cars?
Yeah, and so it's just, it's weird because that's not my favorite movie.
See, that's, oh, yeah. I take it you didn't like Cars, DJ.
It's not that I think Cars is fine. It is the most fine movie I think we've talked about so far. But to just put it in that like special place of like happy nostalgia, make you feel like a kid. You know, we've got like Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. And for someone else to put Cars there, that's weird.
Yeah.
It is weird.
But it was like, I do feel like that's when I felt like I was a little too old for Pixar movies. Like, because
I'd agree with that. Because I was like middle school probably.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah, we were like 12 or 13.
Where you just are too cool for everything.
Yeah, and, like, Cars felt like it was aimed for, like, 6-year-old boys who, like, are still, like, buying Hot Wheels and, like, having, like, car-themed birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why those people younger than us really love it, but that's interesting that that's, like, their, like, go-to Pixar movie is Cars.
Yeah. And so they were pretty excited, I think, when the sequels came out.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Are those the people that liked Cars 2?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we can. Oh, yeah, but it was good. But so I watched the Cars trailer, and like the animation was not as good as I remembered it being. Like, there were a couple scenes, and I was like, oh, that doesn't really look that good. I'm like, what happened? Because Finding Nemo and The Incredibles were great. So, I don't know. It just felt like kind of an easy movie. Like, just make some talking cars, and he's got to win the big race.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like with all the previous Pixar movies, like I felt like they had like this sort of like the cinema magic that just makes the movie stand out. And for whatever reason, I felt like Cars was missing it. Like, I don't hate Cars. I think it's just fine. But I don't know.
But it's not a nostalgic movie.
Yeah.
For me.
I also remember Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts was just played constantly after this movie came out.
Played so many times on the Disney Channel.
Just on all the time. Yep. Oh, that's where it was. They would pause it like during a commercial break on Disney Channel. Just be like, now listen to the Rascal Flatts play Life is a Highway.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, I guess we're all kind of on the same page with Cars.
I think so.
So, I kind of had Cars in between my, like, groupings, because you had Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, and The Incredibles, which were all really great movies. You had Cars, which was, like, kind of weird. And then the next three, I feel like, is when I was kind of, like, not paying attention as much to Pixar movies. I don't know if it's because I was getting older, or if they just weren't as good. Or what, but like Ratatouille is the one on the list that I probably remember the least of out of any of these.
Well, that's not good because I think I'm in the same boat.
No. I remember
Grace,
going
what happened,
to see
what
Ratatouille.
Happened in Ratatouille.
Yeah, you got
to
tell us
well,
everything.
Well, okay, that was the one of the few movies that my entire immediate family went to. So we all five of us went to the movie
okay,
theater.
Okay, you have a memorable experience.
Often.
Good.
And I don't remember it at
oh,
all.
Oh, no!
No!
So,
but I know I've seen it.
I feel like all I remember is just like a scene of... I remember that the guy's name is Linguini, which I thought was ridiculous. And I just remember a scene of where he's like controlling him with his... The mouse is controlling him with his hair.
See, I forgot that until we watched the trailer.
And he's like, yeah, he's like stumbling through the kitchen, just flailing everywhere. That's like all I remember about that movie. I don't know how they made a full-length movie out of that idea.
And did the mouse not talk to Linguini?
I think he...
Remy. Did Remy not talk to him?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because I don't remember, but when I was watching the trailer, he was just nodding.
Yeah, I know he talked to the other rats. And I know Linguini could talk because he's a person.
To the humans.
Yeah, you might be right. I just don't know. I feel like I saw this once and never again.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Apparently 2007 was a dull year for us.
I don't know what it was. I guess it just wasn't. So I was looking at the IMDb page, though, and Patton Oswalt was the voice of Remy.
Yeah, I remember that while watching the trailer, but if you would have asked me before the trailer, I would have been like, I don't know. Like, I don't remember what he sounds like. But
I mean, also in 2007, we don't know who Patton Oswalt is. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd put that one pretty low on my list. Not as low as Cars 2, but...
Yeah, we'll get there.
Slowly but surely. Okay, next one is WALL-E, which, okay, DJ, you said that Grace has not seen WALL-E. You haven't seen WALL-E or Up, which are the next two.
No, I have not seen either.
Wow, so, these three movies are kind of like the dark period.
Yes, that's what I kind of had it as like my fading out period, where I don't know what really happened, but just wasn't as in tune. I'm not super surprised that you haven't seen WALL-E, just because it was so strange.
I do remember thinking when I saw the trailer that I thought it would be dumb.
Because, yeah, it just...
But I heard that people loved it afterwards, and I still didn't go see it. I don't know why. It just didn't strike my interest.
Yeah, some people really love it. But, I mean, I completely understand. It's... I really don't know how to... It's a love story between two robots in, like, the future of Earth. And I don't know. I don't really know how you describe it.
What are they trying
well,
to
see,
do?
Well, see, Grace, one time you asked me to explain WALL-E, and I think I said something along the lines of, well, it starts out and it's just this robot and there's no talking for a really long time. Before I could get any farther, you said, that sounds stupid.
Well, I stand by that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's stupid. I just think it was a very out there idea that is a little hard to buy into. I feel like I have started watching, like, I remember the first, 20 minutes or so of WALL-E pretty well, of where he's, like, rolling around on Earth. He's got his little cockroach friend, and then the big rocket ship comes down and he's scared. He, like, meets up with the robot, and then they go back to space, and then I kind of, like, blank after that for a while, because I guess I just didn't really care.
I think you remember more than I did. I think this is one of the ones that I watched once and then never again. But even then, I don't feel like a particular attachment to WALL-E. But I am aware that people apparently love it, so.
Yeah. It's kind of, I feel like, Pixar was really great at making, like, these characters that you love. Like, all the way through Cars, I would say, are all these, like, classic characters. But, like, no one's like, oh, I love Remy from Ratatouille. Or, like, I love WALL-E. Like, there's just not that, like, attachment to the character.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that, oh, WALL-E's my favorite movie, or Ratatouille is my favorite movie.
Yeah. I feel like maybe more so adults really liked WALL-E just as, like, a film. You know?
I guess, maybe.
The art of it, where it was, like, silent, and it's, like, I don't know. But I think the other thing from WALL-E that I remember is that, like, once they get up into space, there's, like, the giant cruise ship, and there's all these overweight people just sitting in chairs. And,
yeah,
like,
I remember that.
They don't really talk to each other. And I feel like that gets referenced a lot as, like, what our future is going to be like, is everyone's just going to be sitting in a chair staring at a screen and, like, no exercise, no, like, interacting with other people, and we'll just be fat and sad.
That sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
But it's Disney, so it's, like, funny. They're all, like, falling out of their chairs and, like, rolling all over the place. It's... Yeah, we can move on from WALL-E. Okay, so you also... So I'm not as surprised by WALL-E. I am surprised you haven't seen Up, Grace.
I'm also still surprised. I don't know what was happening in May of 2009 when it came out.
I mean, at this point, freshman year
must have been hard.
Yeah, at this point, we're teenagers. And so we're probably like, oh, I don't watch Disney movies. I'm not a kid.
Well, I don't know, because I remember everybody loved Up. And maybe I just didn't get around to it when it was out in theaters. I didn't really go to the movies a lot until I started dating DJ.
Sorry.
But... Now you're on a movie podcast. Look at that turnaround. The magic of the movies.
Up was one that I always wanted to see, and I just never did, and I still don't know why.
Yeah, I'd say, like, go on YouTube and watch the first 5 minutes. And then you're good. Like, or watch up until the point where his house takes off in the balloons. Because that's, like, the important
Isn't
part.
Isn't that pretty early?
It is early, but so the first 5 minutes is, like, the super sad. It, like...
I think I've seen the first 5 minutes.
It's, like...
I think I've seen the sad part with his wife.
Okay, then you've...
And yeah, she's dead, right?
Yes. Yeah, because he's
that's
old.
That's about as much as I know. Yeah. And I know that there's a little Boy Scout guy.
Yep.
And a dog.
Yep, that's, I mean... That's about all you...
That's all I know.
After the house takes off, it's kind of silly and not very good. DJ, thoughts on Up? It sounds like you don't remember this one very well either.
Man, I'm telling you, these three movies in this period, I know I watched Up. I think I watched it with my mom, and I think we both shed a few tears during the first couple minutes. It's just so dang sad.
It is sad.
But the rest of the movie, I don't remember at all. I remember Doug, the dog.
Yep, and how, yeah. I think the lasting thing from Up is the sad part at the beginning, and then Doug going, squirrel!
Yep, and that's about it.
Yeah, that is still used today. So
all the time.
Yeah, congrats Pixar on making another culturally relevant meme. But, yeah, we can move past the dead period.
Yeah, are these movies, like, not good, or are we just bad at watching movies?
Like, I feel like these ones were, like, nominated for awards, whereas, like, some of the other ones before it weren't, like...
Well, that makes no sense.
They were critically well-received, but, like, as, like, the Pixar generation of, like, kids, I feel like they just didn't really connect with us. For some reason, I don't know if the stories were, like, too grown up or the characters just weren't that relatable. I'm not sure what it was, but yeah, no, I agree. Those three were just not, didn't feel like they were my movies.
Okay, I don't feel as guilty anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, Grace, at Disney, they still have like Finding Nemo stuff everywhere. And I'm sure more so
you
now.
You don't see anything about Ratatouille.
Yeah, yeah, there's not like the...
I think there is some WALL-E stuff, but not much, if I can remember. It's also been a couple of years, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what you do with Up other than have like a floating house ride or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you do that. Okay, so tying together Up and Toy Story 3, I've got a question of what is the saddest Pixar moment of all time? Mm-hmm. Is it the first 5 minutes of Up, the ending of Toy Story 3, or the ending of Coco?
That's tough, man.
Which one makes you cry the most?
I think the end of Toy Story 3 was sadder, but I shed some tears at the end of Coco, but not Toy Story 3. So I think Toy Story 3 may have been sadder for me, but I think Coco affected me more emotionally.
Interesting. Or if there's another moment.
I think I was leaning towards Toy Story 3 as being more sad than Coco was. Because Coco, I mean, they end on a good, happy note, and at the end of Toy Story 3, it's happy and all, but then Andy leaves.
Yeah, that's true.
He just leaves all his memories behind.
No. No, we gotta go there. Oh, and it was tough because, so this came out, like, summer of our sophomore year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just, like, starting to think about going to college.
Maybe that's why it hit me so hard.
I mean, I definitely remember thinking, like, when Andy's, like, packing up his toys and going away, I was, like, thinking through all the things at home that I'm going to have to leave behind. And I was like, oh, no. Like, this is the worst. And it comes right after all the toys had been, like, sliding down into the fiery pit of doom.
They held
like,
hands.
That part was sad.
Arms locked.
They held hands and they just accepted their death and I was losing my mind.
I was like, why would you do this in a movie? This is terrible.
I was like, surely they're not going to do this to us.
I know, but it was so sad. Oh, man. Toy Story 3 was great.
It was great.
It was a great movie.
Man, it was a great ending, which is... And here we go. I don't know how I'm feeling about Toy Story 4. I'm sure it'll be great, but Toy Story 3 was just... It felt like a good conclusion.
It was the best ending to a trilogy you could have.
Yeah.
It was like, man, the toys are all together, and Andy's going to college. It's like we've grown up. We don't play with toys anymore. Oh.
And I was happy that they got a new, like, owner, but I was still just sad.
Yeah.
They're Andy's toys.
I just emotionally don't know if I can see those toys go through any more stress, which is what Toy Story 4 is going to do to them, and I can't handle it.
I know. I would almost rather it just be some new group of toys that we've never seen before. And it's like, oh, these toys are in the same universe. And you come up with, like, the Toy Story cinematic universe.
And there's just, like, Mr. Potato Head pops up.
Yeah. You could have some side character that is not Buzz or Woody and just show up. And it'd be like, oh, yeah, those toys. But, like, don't bring the whole gang back in. I just can't handle it.
I would like that a lot more.
Yeah, which is, I don't know what they're doing.
But I am excited to see what they do with
it. Yeah. But Toy Story 3 was great. Which I would not say of the next movie on the list, which is Cars 2.
Wow, they really go from a high point to a low point within a year, don't they?
I almost feel like they knew Cars 2 wasn't going to be that great, and so they were like, oh, we've got to get Toy Story 3 out before it to just smooth things over. So can you imagine if Cars 2 came out right after Ratatouille, WALL-E, and Up?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Oh, man. But so I remember Cars 2, For some reason, my youth group leader at church took all the high school students to go see Cars 2. And I was like, we are all just way too old for this movie. Like, going in, I was like, why are we doing this? Yeah, why are we doing this? And then I watched it, and I'm like, I still feel way too old for this movie. But even if I was a kid, I don't think it was that good.
I don't remember this storyline very well. I know there were some spy cars.
Yeah, Finn McMissile.
I was telling DJ before this, I only remember two moments from this movie. And one was when Mater was in the bathroom using the bidet thing. Yep. And then when Mater ate the wasabi.
Yep.
And that's it.
It was pretty much all about
Mater. I don't even remember Lightning McQueen being in this movie.
Was Lightning McQueen in it? Did he have, like,
he was.
He raced the Italian, Formula One car.
Yes.
Which made no sense. But I just don't know what they were doing.
I think this is the only movie on this list that I remember not liking watching. Like, yeah. Even the ones I thought were just okay, I was like, oh, that was fine. But this is the one I was just like,
they were still entertaining.
I don't like that. Yeah, like you were saying, they're still entertaining. But this one, I don't know.
So I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes scores of all of these. And so the second lowest score is 68% for Cars 3. Any guesses as to what Cars 2 was?
I know it's got to be the lowest, right?
Yes. And so, I mean, you've got like Toy Story 3 was 99%. Up was 98%. WALL-E was 96%. Incredibles 97%. Finding Nemo 99%. It's like people freaking love Pixar movies. And Cars 2 is 39%.
Oh no!
Which is so low. That is so low.
Oh.
I just, the three lowest movies are all the Cars movies.
That really?
That is just kind of strange.
I don't know. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just, that's something.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, for some reason, I feel like the Pixar team, like the people at Pixar, just really love Cars.
They love selling Cars toys.
Yeah.
That is a good brand for selling, like, toys like
Which
that.
Is probably why we're getting a Toy Story 4.
Isn't there, like, Cars World at Disneyland or something?
Really?
Oh, I don't know.
Where it's, like, a whole section there. I feel like I remember seeing, like, when it came out, there's, like, a whole section of the park that's, like, Cars World. And I'm
That's surprising.
I'm like, who is this for? Like,
Grace's like cousins. You said,
I know. Apparently there's, like, this younger generation that was just like, Cars 3, yes!
I'll have to ask them next time I see them how they felt about the Cars sequels, but I know they loved the first one.
I need some insight, because like I get just like Lightning McQueen and Mater are like good characters, but it's like the movies are just not that good.
I thought Lightning McQueen was kind of annoying, but I liked Mater.
Well, it is Owen Wilson, so I wasn't gonna.
I generally like Owen Wilson.
I wasn't gonna, but he gets made fun of quite a bit.
He does.
That's true. He's easy to make fun of.
Yeah, and so I wasn't gonna bring it up, but I did manage to watch Cars 3 before this also.
Wow, that is dedication, my friend.
Yes, and anything for the pod, DJ. And I just like Cars 3 wasn't a terrible movie.
Oh, okay.
But every time Owen Wilson said "Wow," I started laughing. He was just like, wow. Wow. And I was just like, oh, no. Why did it have to be Owen Wilson?
Oh, man. I just, because Cars 3 came out recently, and I had just no interest in seeing it.
Yeah, I struggled to make it through. Just, I was like, doing laundry, I was like doing a bunch of other things and just kind of had it on. And yeah, it wasn't as ridiculous and stupid as Cars 2, but you don't need to see it.
Well, that's all I needed to hear.
Yep. We'll never be seen. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so after this, you've got Brave. Okay, so what are your thoughts on Brave? And did you, Yeah. What are your thoughts on Brave?
I wish I liked Brave more than I did. This is the only movie with a female lead, and it just wasn't great. It wasn't bad. My mom loves this movie.
Yeah.
But she said that, so she saw the movie before I did. I didn't see it till a couple of years after it came out. But she said, you have to watch this movie. The moral of the movie is love your mother. And I watched it and I was like, I don't think that's the moral of the movie. But okay.
Okay, I'm glad you said it. So I feel like, so my memory of this was my little sister was turning 4 and I took her to go see it. Because I really wanted to take her to go see a Disney movie. And she was probably a little too young for it and was really scared of the bear parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that kind of like blurred my judgment of it because I was like, oh, I'm taking my little sister to see a Disney movie. And I was like, I don't really know if it's good or not because the central message is like rebellious daughters like finally like accepting their parents' love and instruction. And yeah, that... it makes sense that you, like, didn't really like it as much as your mom. It definitely feels like a movie that was made for moms to just love.
Yeah, Grace, we watched this together not that long ago, right?
Yeah, that was the first time I had seen it.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know, I didn't like it all that much. I thought it was fine.
It was entertaining enough, but definitely not my favorite on the list.
To me, it felt like it was missing like that Pixar magic, I guess. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And I feel like the start of the movie was pretty good, and then you get towards like the end when people are like turning into bears, and there's like weird magic stuff going on, and I was just kind of like, okay, it's time to be done. So yeah, I feel like it, I think you said it well, Grace, that, like, I wish I liked it more, because, like, it had a lot of the right things that, like, Pixar needed to do, but...
And I think it started strong, but maybe somewhere in the middle, I just didn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about this movie.
Yeah. Question mark on Brave. And that's, like, one of the reasons, like... If I was to, like, rank the movies, I just don't know, like, where I would put it. I'd probably end up putting it towards the bottom just because, like...
Competition is tough.
Yeah.
It's the one that's probably one of the easiest to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Not as much as Ratatouille, but...
No, not as much as Ratatouille.
I'm glad that none of us can remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would be very surprised if Grace had been like, oh, Ratatouille is my favorite. I remember every scene.
This is what happened.
Yeah, let me quote some of the best lines from Ratatouille about food. I don't know anything else to say about it. Okay, I feel like number 14, I feel like I could have just skipped Cars 2 and Brave if Toy Story 3 and Monsters University had just come out 3 years apart. That would have been great.
I would have been okay with that.
Same.
Because I loved Monsters University.
I also really enjoyed this movie.
I mean, it came out like our freshman year, right? Like as soon as we were done with freshman year?
It was 2013. After... Yes.
Yeah,
you're right.
So I don't know. This movie just hit that nostalgia factor in a way that I don't think another movie could. Because it reminds you, of Monsters, Inc., which we grew up with. And then it's about the characters going to college, which is what we are doing. I don't know. This movie just hitting all those aspects of it and having all those, those things we could relate to, just getting to class on time, fraternity or Greek stuff. I don't know. Monsters University really clicked for me. And maybe it was just the timing that edges it out over Monsters, Inc. for me. But I think it's a great movie. So
they did time it perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who planned that, but it was great.
Yeah, I feel like after freshman year is like the perfect time to have that movie come out. Because it like, I don't know, like tied back to your childhood of like, kind of like how the end of Toy Story 3 was of just like, you've got all these characters you love growing up and now you're older and like, here's a story for you now that you're older.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the jokes resonated with us a little bit more since we were in college. And...
yeah, there's a lot of things I don't think I would have understood if it had come out a year earlier when I was in high school. But, like, I don't know if, like, a kid watching that movie would enjoy it as much. I don't know if it would mean as much to them.
That's true. I don't know any children's opinions on that movie.
Yeah, like, we're, like, 7 and 8-year-olds, like, begging to go see Monsters University a second time.
I honestly think it was just more geared towards our generation.
I know, which is just kind of strange, because, like, most of the movies, like, they can have adult messages, but it's still, like, this is a kid's movie.
Yeah, I don't know if this was one that a lot of kids would be like, take me to see this one again.
Well, no, we'll have to bring some kids on the pod next time.
We'll have to find some.
I remember my little sister really liked it, but that's because her brothers were all going to college, and so...
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional, like, sister connections to these movies, because my little sister was, like, going through the Pixar phase, like, I don't know, 13 or 14 years behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was great. It gave me a reason to keep going to Disney movies, even when I was way too old to be going to Disney movies. Especially, so, I think her favorite, probably, on this list was Inside Out.
Really?
Yes, she really liked Inside Out.
Huh, because that was one I wasn't sure if kids were going to like, kind of like Monsters University. Because I love Inside Out, and I guess we can move on to Inside Out, because I loved Inside Out, but I could easily see that it might have been geared for more of a mature audience. But, I mean, if she liked it, maybe not.
Well, the Joy character was pretty fun, so I could see how children could relate to that one.
Yeah.
And then the anger, disgust was funny, and anger was pretty funny,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a higher concept, and that's, I remember, so my whole family went and saw it together, and I remember after we were all like, did Lily understand it? Like, or was it just like, wait, cause she was like, what, 7 at this point? Not even 7? And we thought it would just be like, whoosh, just straight over her head, but she was like, oh, I loved it, it was so great. So, she really liked it, and I don't know, I think that made me really like it, too.
I just thought this movie was so deep for a kid's movie. I mean, they all usually have kind of a deeper meaning, but this one I felt like was way levels above the other
ones.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Yeah. And I remember seeing, like, the description of what it was going to be before it came out, and being like, how are they going to make that into, like, a good movie?
You put Amy Poehler in it.
I guess.
Well, then, do y'all know how I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I think it is, that the guy that wrote it, the way that he got the idea for it was he had a daughter about the age of the daughter in the movie, and she was going through all these emotions, and he couldn't understand it, and he didn't know why she was acting this way, and that's kind of how he rationalized it, was like the little people in your head, and we all have them, and that's how we react to things.
I didn't know that.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's what I heard. I would fact check that because I don't know.
I mean, I would believe it though.
I'm buying it. I'm gonna bite, Grace. Some great, great outside info coming in.
So yeah, Inside Out was pretty great. I think my favorite part though was at the end when it was going to like different animals' brains and the cat brain.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing.
Like in the credits.
That was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, cats are just walking on the controls, just doing whatever.
I just loved it, because then it made me think about my own, like, who would be in my head,
yeah,
running my emotions, because, like, the dad, his main one was anger, and and the girl, little girl's, was, her main one was joy.
Yeah.
Just makes you think about your own little
people
in your head.
Yeah. No, it was really good. Okay, and did you guys say that neither of you have seen The Good Dinosaur?
That is correct.
Oh. That's too bad. So, a lot of people didn't like The Good Dinosaur, and I'm interested to know why you guys didn't want to go see it.
I don't remember. I don't even remember trailers for this movie. Maybe it's just because I didn't have cable at the time or something.
So, this was Thanksgiving time of our senior year. So, I feel like there was quite a bit going on anyway.
And it came out the same year as Inside Out.
Oh, it did. You're right.
That's true.
Yeah, and that was the first time they've done 2 in 1 year. Normally, they're at least a year apart.
Yeah, if it was like a year apart, then maybe I would have been more interested. I don't know what was going on at the time, but I just like word of mouth, I didn't hear anything about The Good Dinosaur.
No, and then I kept confusing this one with How to Train Your Dragon.
Huh.
Did those come out around the same time?
I feel like the first How to Train Your Dragon was like a while before it.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's had a couple sequels. I don't know, I haven't seen any of those.
I think I saw the first one, but I don't know. That, I kept thinking that that's what The Good Dinosaur was, but it's...
Yeah, I feel like they didn't market it very well. And a lot of people were like, well, we've already had a Pixar movie this year. So, but I saw it. I think it's worth watching. I think just for the animation, it looks really good. And there's like lots of like landscape shots, which aren't really something that Pixar normally does. And I don't know, that was good. The story is really simple and like straightforward, but it's still like enough to like keep you watching. And I don't know, it's kind of strange how they have like the dinosaur and then he has basically a pet that's a human. And you're kind of like, I don't think that's how it was. But yeah, it's still fun. I think it's pretty good. But I think it was the like lowest grossing Pixar movie. I don't think it made very much money.
I really guess that's probably just because of the timing. Like, it was during Thanksgiving, but they also already did have a Pixar movie earlier, so I don't know. Or maybe they just...
But I don't even remember any commercials or trailers or anything like that for this
movie. So maybe they just didn't splurge on the ads or something. I don't know.
I wonder if something else came out like Thanksgiving of 2015 that was like a big movie that everyone was going to see, and so everyone went and saw that movie and just didn't think to go see.
Maybe.
I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 came out around then.
I was not interested in that.
That might be why. I was.
I fell off Hunger Games after the second movie.
I keep forgetting they split that movie into two.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can see that came out around then. But, I mean, it got... There was a big following, a big fan.
Yeah, now people love The Hunger Games.
So that's what... Maybe those came out around the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really not a whole lot going on. That's kind of weird. Huh. Yeah, I feel like that's one of, like, Disney's, like, not great successes. But I feel like that's one of the ones where it wasn't a sequel. And it should have done better, I think, but I guess it was just bad timing and bad marketing. Yeah, so next one, Finding Dory.
I loved Finding Dory. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, no, I think that's...
I don't know. I don't have anything to elaborate on. I just enjoyed it a lot.
Just a good movie.
Well, Grace, did you like it more than Finding Nemo, do you think?
See, I don't think so. Usually with movies that have sequels, I either really prefer the first one or I really like the second one better. I don't think I have a favorite between these.
Okay, so they're about equal
for you.
I
feel like the stories are pretty separate enough that the movies are equal in my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say I think Finding Nemo is definitely more like nostalgic. Like, there's definitely more like classic scenes from it that you're gonna remember for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But just as far as like watching it and enjoying it, I think Finding Dory is pretty close to the same.
Yeah. I'd put it close to Finding Nemo as well. I think I probably prefer Finding Nemo just because of the nostalgia goggles, but I enjoy Finding Dory a lot. I was pretty excited when they announced it.
I mean, it was a perfect one for kids because Ellen DeGeneres as Dory is just...
She's one of the best Pixar voice actors that they've had.
She's got such a good voice for a children's
movie.
She really
does.
Yeah, and her character is so great, too.
So it's just very entertaining.
I feel like I distinctly remember dying laughing at the seals, which I was like, okay, this is a dumb kid's joke, but like the stupid seal Reginald.
And it was funny.
They would just yell at him to get off the rock, and he just had this stupid look on his face. And I just thought it was the funniest thing.
I did enjoy how they kind of like went back on how Dory was able to talk to whales.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed that little part
of
the story.
Yeah, that was like a key part of the plot and getting them out of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that is not the backstory I was expecting.
Oh, and also when they get to the aquarium and it's just like, welcome, I'm Sigourney Weaver. And I was like, what? Like, you can't just like name drop real people in your Pixar yeah, movies. Right. Can't merge the real world. But yeah, Finding Dory is great. I don't know if I've seen it since seeing it in theaters, though. I don't know if I ever rewatched it.
I haven't.
I don't think I ever rewatched it either.
Because I'm like too old to be buying these things on DVD. And I spend my DVD money elsewhere. So neither of you saw Cars 3. I kind of already did a little overview of that. But that might be enough, honestly.
Okay.
There's really nothing you're missing out on there. There's one part of the plot is that, like, Lightning McQueen is, like, sponsored by some guy that wants to sell a bunch of merchandise for him. And they're, like, showing all these stacks of merchandise. And I'm like, you're just gonna sell all that merchandise in real life, Disney.
Aww.
Like, what a shameless plug for all of your, like, toys and Lightning McQueen gear that you're trying to sell by releasing another Cars movie.
That makes me sad. I don't want them to be that obvious about why they're making another Cars movie.
Yeah, well, and so now he's passed the torch onto this, like, young female racer, and he is now, like, the coach like Doc Hudson was for him. It's, like, the big lesson he learned.
Does that mean there's going to be a Cars 4?
There very well could be. It seems like the people at Pixar sure love their cars.
Okay.
I know, I'm just not happy about it. Okay, so we finally made it to the last movie on the list.
Coco!
Which is the most recent one, Coco. So I just watched it a few days ago. And I thought it was really good.
Coco was amazing.
I liked it more than I thought it would, even after DJ had told me last week that it was a really great movie.
I don't know. I love Coco. I really did.
I did too. I almost want to say it's one of my favorites on this list, but I don't know. That's also probably because I saw it most recently.
Yeah, I could definitely see it being like in the top tier. Like, I think some of the classic old ones are like just always going to be at the top just because they're so classic.
Mm-hmm.
But like Coco was really, really good.
And also this one, I think for me, felt a little bit more Disney than just Pixar because there were more songs. And maybe that's why I enjoyed it a lot.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
And so I was looking after I watched it because like the Remember Me song kind of gets stuck in your head because they play it like four different styles throughout the movie. But I was like, what are other, like, classic Pixar songs? And you've got, like, You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. And then...
And that's it.
And then, like, the, I Wouldn't Have Nothing If I Didn't Have You from, like, the credits of Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Is, like, right. Considered one of the classics. And then it was, like... Rascal Flatts' Life is a Highway.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, that wasn't even like made for the movie. They just like plugged that in there. And so they're really...
Yeah, Coco's the only one that really has songs that you can like sing along with, get a soundtrack for.
Yeah. Yeah, which I agree. That's definitely more of a Disney move, but it's interesting to see how Pixar worked it in. But it like the look of it was definitely more of like a Pixar like magical and I don't know.
It looked gorgeous. Like you could tell they spent a ton of time on this movie. Like before the movie plays, I don't know if this happened in your theater, Aaron, but there was like four people who like come out and say, "Thanks for seeing the movie. These are some of the things we did to like make some of these shots in Coco."
Yeah.
I don't know. Like that was one of the few times I was like seriously impressed with the work that they did behind it, because you're just like, oh, people make movies all the time, but this movie really looked beautiful.
That's what I could watch behind the scenes for any Pixar movie and just be amazed.
Yeah,
because like they're always like they're the ones that are like leading the edge of like animation. Like no one's doing it better than them. DreamWorks and like the other studios are kind of just following their lead as far as animation goes. But yeah, it was beautiful, and then the story was really, the message behind it was really good.
Yeah, this might be one of my favorite storylines. Maybe it's because I'm a little bit older now, too, than when we were little, but...
Yeah.
Like, it shows, you learn a little bit about the culture and kind of some traditions that go on there, which I think that's just cool to learn in general, but... it also kind of provides kids with a way to comprehend death, which is not something that people talk a lot about, but a lot of kids go through that, whether it's a grandparent or even someone closer, maybe a sibling. It's sad, but it gives them a way to kind of process it. And so I thought that was pretty cool, Pixar.
I don't know. I would definitely agree. Maybe it was just because I'm a little older, but I don't know. Like that ending scene where he's like playing music with his family and then like the... his relatives like cross the bridge and like they're seeing him playing and they're like there. Oh man, that really hit me hard, like harder than I thought it would.
Just such a tearjerker.
Yeah, no, it is. And I thought the story itself was a little like predictable. You could kind of see where it was going, but I was still like really happy with it going that way. Like I thought they did it really well. Like I kind of knew he like wasn't gonna end up being related to Ernesto. Spoilers for Coco, by the way. But yeah, no, I really like how it ended up and how they kind of had the great family moment at the end.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I loved Coco. I think I might want to buy that one when it comes out just because it really had a special place for me. And like I was telling you during the top 10 of 2017 podcast, it seemed like Pixar/Disney did not have a lot of faith in this movie, and I feel like sticking
it for them. Yeah, no, I think I agree. I think so. I didn't get the Frozen intro thing. Yeah,
Grace, you sound offended that he didn't get the.
I think you make a good point though that was like put there to like get people to go see it that wouldn't normally go see it. And it's like, no, this movie's good enough. Like, you should be happy with what you made instead of trying to be like, oh, everyone loves Frozen. Let's put Frozen in here.
Yeah, like, the short wasn't bad. It just seemed like a lack of faith, I guess.
Yeah.
And there were some complaints from parents that, because it wasn't, I mean, it was short, but not really that short whenever you're expecting to see a short movie. Yeah. And so kids get antsy and they don't want to stay in the theater and they're tired of sitting.
And they've got to make it to the emotional part at the end or else it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I also thought the dog, I forget what his name was, but I felt like he could have been related to Reginald the Seal. So I like to think that they're somehow
or Ed together. From The Lion King.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's the eyes looking the
it's different that doofy
ways.
Look, man.
The tongue sticking out.
Yep. Oh, I love it. Okay, well, we've made it to the end of all 19 Pixar movies in a little over an hour. We can talk about The Incredibles 2 and Toy Story 4 some more if you want to.
I'm so excited for The Incredibles 2, you guys. Oh man.
Oh, it's got to be great. Like there's I can't see them making a movie that I don't think is great.
Same. I don't know. I don't know too much about it. I've heard that it's supposed to focus more on Elastigirl, which is cool. I don't even care. I'm just happy that there's another Incredibles coming out. And it's coming out during the summer. I'm hype.
You did confirm though that Frozone will be making an appearance.
I don't know that. I haven't looked up too much stuff about it, but
I looked it up. He's back.
Yeah, I would be shocked.
And what about his wife's voice?
Oh, man. I feel like they have to reference that scene somehow.
They
just
have
some
to. That's, one of my, that's probably my favorite scene from that movie.
It's so good.
It's gold. I don't want to see her. I just need to hear her one more time.
Yep.
Exactly. They don't need to show her. She doesn't need to be in it, except her voice.
Wait. Oh, I shouldn't be looking at this Wikipedia page. Too much info.
Uh-oh. What do you know?
The Underminer will be in The Incredibles 2.
Are they picking up, like, right after the first Incredibles?
I don't know. It would be great if they did.
Oh, man. I love
if it starts if it starts at Dash's track meet right at the end when they're all putting their masks on afterwards.
Oh, that'd be legit. Oh man,
it'd be so good. I'd be like, we're back in it. Because I mean, it can't be that much after it because Jack-Jack's still a baby.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So they can't do like a.
Oh, he's still a baby in the movie. Oh yeah.
Because in the like teaser trailer, right? Mm-hmm. He's like doing all sorts of crazy stuff. So yeah, it's got to pick up right there then.
They might just start it off with a little snip from taking off after last time and then going into later on, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for that. We could do another pod after that one comes out.
Yeah, I'd be down. What if our 2018? Grace, we'll bring you back.
Yeah.
Yay.
Unless you hate The Incredibles 2 as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think that's...
Then you won't even take me to the movie.
I think that's the most controversial thing that's happened on our podcast so far is Grace disagreeing with DJ on the number one Pixar movie.
Getting spicy. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you guys had to pick a number one, like... Or a group of numbers like 1 through 3. What would yours be, do you think?
Honestly, and I can't help but saying it, but Coco has been one of my favorites. I don't know if it's just because it's the most recent to me, but I really enjoyed that one. The other ones are very nostalgic, but I loved Coco.
Yeah, I think I'd go full nostalgia and do Toy Story, Finding Nemo, and The Incredibles as my top three in some order.
They're all just so good. But Grace, like you were saying, I know it's weird to like put Coco up that high because we just, you know, saw it pretty recently. But the fact that we can even consider putting it up that high with all these movies from our childhood means that the movie had to be pretty dang good, I think.
It is really good. So I watched some like YouTube video of some guy ranking Pixar movies, which was just dumb. He had Monsters University at like number 15. Oh god! Yeah, and then he had Coco at like number 9 or something.
Oh no!
I was like, I know it was one of those. We did this when we were doing our Marvel ranking. We looked at other people's rankings, and we were just like, no, no, no.
They're all so wrong.
You're doing it so wrong. Yep. Yeah, and that's ranking would have been bad. But yeah, I do think Coco is like top tier. Yeah, either top tier or like top tier B.
Yeah, I think Coco, Toy Story, just all of them together, I can pick one over.
Yeah,
the other.
I understand.
And Nemo. Oh,
love Nemo.
Those are my top ones, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Those are all really good. Oh man. So at one point I was gonna bring this up at some point earlier, but I didn't. When my little brother was looking at schools, he really wanted to be like a video game designer, which my parents were like, no, don't do that. But we were in, I think we actually went to Disney World in Orlando with my little sister. And then we went to this school down there called Full Sail. And it's like this interesting school where they focus on like art stuff, but more specifically like video games and movies and stuff. But they have some like connection with Pixar and have like this whole animation track thing. And so they like, we took a tour there, and as part of the tour you go in this room and they had all these like Disney and Pixar like sketches on the walls and like these little clay molds of figures. And I was like, oh man, like if I had visited the school before choosing a school, I strongly would have like considered just like throwing away like engineering or whatever and being like, I'm going to be a Pixar animator.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, it was just really cool. And I think like what they do is really unique. And for me, there's definitely a difference between a Disney and a Pixar movie, but I do think some of the more recent ones are getting to the point where the 3D animation is really good.
Maybe I don't know if this is a popular opinion or an unpopular opinion, but Disney is still my favorite. I like Disney way more than Pixar, but Pixar is getting up there. They're really, I don't know, I feel like they've been growing a lot.
Yeah.
Growing on me especially.
Yeah. So if we were to do like a Disney movie one, would you want to try to do like a big chunk of Disney movies, or would you want to like focus on one? Because there's just, I mean, there's so many of like the actual Disney animation.
Well, you could either do kind of like the same eras, like kind of those early princess movies. And then, I don't know, what was those other group of movies that, I confused Disney and Pixar, so I don't know what goes where. But you could do them eras, or you could do it like Beauty and the Beast just came out. You could talk about the animated one, and then the new one, or then when Mulan comes out, or Lion King.
Yeah, we should do Mulan when it comes out. That would be good.
I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at, like, the timeline. There's so many of them.
But yeah, we could try and break it down, because I don't know. I'm looking at the release schedule, Aaron, and I don't think there's anything we're going to want to talk about until like Black Panther.
Yeah. And I think we had said, and that's why like we had this Pixar one. We might do a video game one with Josh. We could do an awards thing, but I don't know how interested you are in doing that.
I want to do an awards thing. You'll have to inform me of things, but
I know, and that's why I was wondering if we should try to do that before the actual Oscars, and I can tell you like what I think is going on, or like after, and I can tell you what won awards and why they won awards.
Either one works, but we got some time.
Oscar nominations come out next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should try to work in some sort of Disney. We could probably do like Disney princesses and have quite a few.
Ooh, yeah, that could be a fun one.
But I feel like,
well, I didn't think that y'all would be interested in that.
I think I might have surprisingly strong opinions.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah, but I feel like the definition of a Disney princess has kind of started to, like, is Moana a princess? I guess she is. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she was going to be the queen of the island, right?
Yeah.
She was their leader, but I don't know if they're including her, like, because they always have, at Disney World, you could buy a shirt with, like, all the princesses on it. I don't know if they'll include her in that.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes it's, like, Disney princesses, and then sometimes it's just, like, females of Disney.
Yeah.
And you get, like, Lilo, and it's like, Lilo is not a princess. She's just a kid.
True. Moana might be considered a princess. Because she was in the movie.
I'm gonna Google it.
I mean, more so than Lilo.
Well, yeah.
So I typed in, is Moana, and first result, a princess. Oh man, there's all sorts of articles on this.
Really?
Oh, related questions, is Pocahontas a princess?
Yes.
I thought she definitely was.
Yeah, that's not up for debate.
Yeah, and then below...
No, she's one of the originals.
Below that are Mulan. Mulan's a princess, right?
Yeah.
You know...
Right?
Oh.
She didn't... No, she's not a princess.
You're right.
She didn't marry into royalty. She wasn't royalty when she was born.
But I mean, she's considered a princess, right?
She is considered in that group, okay, though.
What...
So I'm a little confused.
What's his name? The guy...
He's a general.
He's
but
a
that's
general.
It.
Okay.
He's a general in the army, or whatever they call it.
Okay, so for sure got a Mulan discussion for a podcast. When does that... I think that live action one's this next year, right? Or is it not till 2019?
I don't know.
Lion King's in 2019, so I don't know when Mulan is.
This one says, is Tinkerbell
a
princess?
It says it's in 2019. Wait, what does it say?
Is Tinkerbell a princess?
No.
No. Tinkerbell is not a princess.
Fairy. Who's asking these questions?
It's making me mad now.
When I googled Mulan live action release, it says 2019, but it doesn't say a month.
Really? The same year as The Lion King?
That would be unexpected.
I forgot they were doing The Lion King one, but I'm sure you didn't, DJ.
Oh, no. It's marked in my calendar, man.
Yeah. Sure, it's going to be a family event. Everyone goes.
I found something else saying that Mulan live action will be November 2nd, 2018. These are all very different answers.
Oh, man.
Well, now I'm confused.
Yeah, what a reliable place the internet is.
And Aladdin is coming out eventually. I have
no idea. Oh, it is?
Yeah. They already started shooting and stuff.
Ooh, does Merida count as a Disney princess?
Yes.
Yes.
But she's Wait, Pixar. She crap. But she's Disney and Pixar. Oh, man.
She is Disney and Pixar. So she's not like a traditional Disney princess, but she is still a princess. She's
part of it.
So she wouldn't be considered in like that core Disney group, but they could add her in every now and then.
Yeah.
But yeah, because her dad was a king. That was the whole premise. She had to marry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. In the movie, she is a princess. It's just, are Pixar and Disney, does it count for both?
She's not a, like, a big Disney princess.
Yeah, but I know she's like a minor Disney princess. I know when we went to Disney World, she had, like, her own area and was, like, signing autographs like a Disney princess, so.
But you'd see Lilo and Stitch running around signing things, too, so.
I don't think anyone was getting Lilo's autograph.
No, I probably did.
And I feel like I watched that movie a few years ago, and I had to turn it off because they were just yelling the whole time.
It was a little weird.
It was like, there's a lot of, like, her with, like, her sister or whatever, like, fighting really loudly. Just, like, yelling at each other and slamming doors, and it's like, oh.
Well, I don't like loud things, so probably tune that out.
I think I remember liking the TV show more.
I think so, too.
Because it was more like Pokemon at that point.
gotta catch them all.
It was. He was 626. Which meant there were 625 other ones that you could catch.
Yeah.
And then there were games on DisneyChannel.com.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Man.
There was one, my favorite one was like, there was a little monster that made sandwiches, and that's like all he did.
What?
And there was a sandwich stacking game, and you had to stack it up as high as you could get
it. Was he from a movie?
No, he was from just the cartoon.
Oh, he was from the...
He wasn't in
the movie. Oh, it was the purple guy, right?
Oh, I thought he was like a pale yellow.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember the experiment number.
I remember there was a there's like a Tarzan game that I really liked. I feel like you just like ran sideways and jumped on vines.
That sounds right.
It was like Pitfall, but just Tarzan. Pretty much all of our podcasts have been about Disney properties, DJ.
Well, in our defense, Disney
superheroes.
Disney owns everything.
They own everything. They like, own our lives.
They're going through the process of acquiring Sony, so, or not Sony,
Fox.
Fox, yes, thank you. Well, soon to be Sony, I'm sure.
Yeah. But maybe if they do that, they can bring back Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I'm gonna get one amazing Spider-Man shout out in every podcast.
gonna find a way to weasel in there.
After I watched that the ranking Pixar movies, I saw that the same guy had ranked all six Spider-Man movies, and he had the two Andrew Garfield ones at the bottom, and I was just like, no. Oh, and I closed it.
oh man.
It's become my life's purpose is to represent Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
Someone's gotta do it.
I assume Andrew Garfield does it, but...
Nah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, good pod. Thanks for coming on, Grace.
Of course.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, we'll have to... We'll figure out how to do a Disney one in the future. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now cool. We're official and stuff, so I guess if I can get this edited
it'll go
soon
into
enough.
All of our... Yeah, you can find us on Spotify and
well,
Stitcher.
Not yet.
Oh, shouldn't have started SoundCloud.
Well, yeah, we're definitely on SoundCloud, but I filled out the thing for Spotify, but their request form is weird. Like, it's not formal. It's like just in a Google form. And you don't even get a confirmation email. So,
do people listen to podcasts on Spotify?
I don't know. I didn't even know that was a thing until Josh told me he was listening.
That would probably be my first place to look, because I generally don't listen to podcasts. So I'd probably start there.
Okay. Don't you have an iPhone, though? You wouldn't look on the podcast app?
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, well, that's going to be a problem.
Well, I did submit a request to iTunes, and they said I'll hear back in 1 to 5 business days. But for right now, we're definitely
Does someone actually listen to our podcast, or did they just like, oh, I bet this is okay?
I have no idea. I don't even know what they're looking for. Like, I didn't hit like the, because if it's like explicit content, you have to say yes to that. But ours isn't, so I thought that would be the only thing they would need to screen for. But I don't know.
Because I can't imagine there's someone that just has to listen to every single podcast that gets submitted. That would be the worst job.
That'd be pretty bad. So for right now, we're definitely on SoundCloud and Stitcher. And soon to be other places, hopefully.
And expanding to a podcast outlet near you.